Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
This episode contains discussion of domestic violence, suicide, and harm to minors. Listener discretion is advised. Federal charges tied to a death once ruled a suicide, a notorious violent case where a supervised release went wrong, plus a fatal family meal is now headed to appeals, renewed debate over long-promised disclosure in a powerful abuse scandal, fresh movement in a decades-old cold case, and why unexplained objects are drawing attention under the sea. This week's episode is End of Year Case Updates.
In the night, your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
We got
from the disclaimer up top.
You know, it's one of those where it's like, well, these are all things we've covered, and when you put them all into one episode, the disclaimer becomes longer because normally it'd be one one thing versus the other. And in a show like this, it's all in one. It's all in you one know? Bucket, like a candy salad of horrors.
Fuck it, bucket. Yeah, it is. It's a candy salad of horrors. Truly.
That's what David Sedaris' brother called his candy bucket. He called it the fuck it bucket. And he's like, things go bad, man. Take you a piece of candy out of the fuck it bucket.
The fuck it bucket. You got to get one. We got a couple fuck it buckets in this house. They all belong to my kids. But I call them fuck it buckets. They call them our Halloween candy buckets.
Oh, man. Well, a day like today, we'll all be putting our hands in them because we've got six case updates that all prior cases. So I say we dive on in.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. First up, we have some news on everyone's most hated person that drives around dressed like Spider-Man in a car he doesn't deserve, J.P. Miller. The death of Micah Miller drew national attention in 2024. After the 30-year-old was found dead under circumstances, authorities later ruled a suicide. The odd sermon her husband, Pastor John Paul J.P. Miller, gave just hours after her death went viral, sparking widespread online speculation. Theories were fueled by 911 audio, security and body cam footage, and public scrutiny of her marriage and church community, as well as the dark backgrounds of JP and his father. We covered Micah's story in episodes 294 through 296.
And done a couple updates, including about lawsuits against JP and his dad for sexually abusing minors at their churches, complaints against protesters looking for justice for Micah, and abuse that they've allegedly received at the hands of JP.
It started so very early on with his father, and my speculation would be he grew up in an abusive environment himself and then started abusing others.
Including meeting Micah when she was just 15 years old.
Yes. Yeah. Federal authorities in South Carolina have now indicted the former Myrtle Beach pastor on charges tied to his estranged wife's death, nearly 2 years after she was found dead in a North Carolina park. On December 18, 2025, a federal grand jury in Columbia returned a two-count indictment against 46-year-old Pastor J.P. Miller for cyberstalking and making false statements to federal investigators. This indictment alleges that beginning in November 2022, Miller sent unwanted and harassing communications to his estranged wife until her death on April 27, 2024. Prosecutors say the conduct included posting a nude photograph of her online without consent, placing tracking devices on her vehicle, contacting her more than 50 times in a single day, interfering with her finances and daily activities, and once damaging her car tires. Investigators allege Miller then lied in his responses when federal agents interviewed him about those actions.
Well, don't do that, JP. Don't lie to the FBI.
Once they come a-knocking, they already know the answers to their questions.
And we said that a couple months ago when the FBI agent showed up and started taking hard drives, devices, boxes of papers out of his house, that they're going to ask you questions they already know the answer to, and don't make this a bigger mess for yourself. But cyberstalking under the U.S. code requires a course of conduct, so more than one act, which we see that here, an intent to harass, intimidate, or cause substantial emotional distress, actual substantial emotional distress, which I think we can all agree Micah underwent, and this interstate nexus where he was using phones, the internet, perhaps traveling across state lines while doing it. So he was already in trouble with that. But then the false statement, it's like you knew you did these things and then you lied to the FBI.
Yeah. And so then my question becomes, what else have you lied about?
Mm-hmm. And how are we to believe anything that you're saying of not Truly. Having to do with Micah's death?
Exactly. Authorities have said Miller's arraignment is scheduled for January 12, 2026 in federal court in Florence, South Carolina. If convicted, he faces a maximum of 5 years in prison on the cyberstalking charge and up to 2 years for making false statements, plus fines as much as $250,000.
And what I'm hoping is this opens the door for some type of superseding indictment that they're already looking under the hood and digging through all your stuff as part of the discovery, that they also are like, what is this message that says I just need to get her to the park? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there might be a thread that pulls the rest.
I think it's going to be a Murdoch type situation where it all starts to unravel. And it always starts with money.
Mm-hmm. And that's what his church doing shady things and getting attention on them. And Micah having already called in the feds with an IRS tip, allegedly. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, she can't be here to see the justice, but the justice that she was trying to get maybe will be served when we see him, and as well as whatever happened to Chris Skinner, the person that used a wheelchair that ended up in a pool.
His new wife, I know if they're married, but his girlfriend's late husband, who they were having an affair when he just all of a sudden landed up in a public pool in his motorized wheelchair all by himself in the morning, which sounds very sus.
Strange, strange things. But I can't imagine that there's anything. If the evidence is available, the FBI will probably find it and refer it to the local authorities.
Robeson County, North Carolina medical officials ruled Micah's 2024 death a suicide, but the case drew intense public scrutiny after reports of JP's alleged stalking and harassment. Robeson County Sheriff Bernice Wilkins, in a statement shared by local news outlets, framed the indictment as highlighting
the seriousness of domestic violence abuse and related offenses,
adding that such conduct
has no place in our society. And I would say, where the fuck were you when all this was happening to Micah and she made binders full of shit and y'all didn't do anything? Fuck you, local police, for doing nothing and having to wait 2 years after she's dead for the feds to come in and clean up your mess. Good old boy network.
When I was just saying it all starts with money, that was not necessarily a compliment. It was it always starts because they're like, why is all this money missing? That's all we care about is money, money, money. And then they're like, oh, so they murdered people. Huh. He killed his wife and son by the dog thing. Yeah, Murdoch did that. Oh, so this guy probably also killed his wife and claimed it was a suicide, and that man found her and she was being followed. Yeah, probably that too. Yeah. And we would have all known that a lot earlier if you'd given a shit about women being abused and mm-hmm. that being reported versus it only matters when there's money involved.
Yeah, it is odd that it took so long for, in this case especially, like so long after her death to investigate something that caused her substantial emotional upset while she was alive. And it's like, well, the very thing that caused her substantial emotional upset is what killed her, in my opinion. Yeah. And now, I mean, it feels too little too late. I'm happy that some movement is made, but I desperately wish for a superseding indictment that attaches some type of further or in a state level indictment for the yeah. murder.
Yes. I'd love to see him in prison mm-hmm. with all sorts of charges.
Mm-hmm. He's like, could I bring my Spider-Man costume to prison? They're like, no, JP, that's in your box. It's in the box with your personal effects.
Yeah, you showed up in that, so we had to strip you of that. Yeah, exactly. Before we put you in uniform. You'll get it when you leave in mm-hmm. hopefully never years.
Mm-hmm.
Support services are available for anyone affected by suicide or domestic abuse through the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 988.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Well, next we move on to a story that also captivated the nation for different reasons. It's the Slender Man case. This case centered on the 2014 stabbing of a Wisconsin child by two classmates who said they were trying to appease a fictional character, as we covered in episode 15. In May of 2014, after a sleepover in Wisconsin, 12-year-old Peyton Leitner was stabbed 19 times by her friend Morgan Geyser, while another classmate, Anissa Wire, encouraged the attack. Leitner survived by crawling to a nearby bike path. Geyser and Wire later told police they carried out the stabbing to appease the fictional character Slender Man. Both were charged as adults, but found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect and committed to psychiatric institutions. Wire was sentenced to up to 25 years in a psychiatric facility and was conditionally released in September 2021 after more than 4 years of inpatient treatment. She now lives with her father under strict supervision, including GPS monitoring, internet restrictions, and ongoing psychiatric care. In 2017, Geyser accepted a plea deal and was transferred to Winnebago Mental Health Institute, where she remained for nearly 8 years. Mental health experts later testified she had made progress and no longer posed an imminent danger, though she has remained in state custody until this year.
And to clarify, for those not as familiar with the case, Anissa Wire was watching while Morgan did the actual act. So that's, I think that can explain the difference in their sentences. And yeah. So far, there's been no updates other than on Anissa Wire, like she's out. She seems to be complying and doing fine. But we did previously cover Morgan's quest for release earlier, which we'll briefly summarize. But she's was so young when it happened that I yeah. think the difficulty is at what point does this mental disease or defect no longer play a part? And that's what they're trying to suss out, all the experts.
That's a valid question. In January 2025, a Waukesha County judge approved her conditional release. Over the following months, the release plan was repeatedly litigated. In March, prosecutors raised concerns after learning Geyser had been reading material involving
sexual sadism and the sale of human organs on the black market,
according to court testimony. In April, Peyton Leitner's mother objected to the proposed placement, noting the group home was located 8 miles from her daughter's residence. The judge ordered officials to submit a revised plan.
You could understand. Yes, 8 miles is too close.
That's much too close, and that's a concerning internet search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
given her history.
It was reading material. So she was reading,
reading
a book.
Material.
Yes. Yeah, it was a book that had that kind of as the plot. There was also the issues of, we spoke about it in a prior case update, some letters she had received that indicated perhaps murderabilia collectors were trying to purchase her artwork. So, you know, that those are all things you want to assess. And there was vehement argument from the state that these were indications that she was not ready for this lighter it's a lighter facility that you're in.
Yeah.
It's not quite as locked down. And a conditional release is a privilege. It's something that you earn through improving, and it is something that can be revoked at any time.
True. On July 17th, 2025, the court approved Geyser's transfer to a supervised group home with a GPS monitoring bracelet. 4 months into her stay, on the evening of November 22nd, group home staff reported that Geyser had removed her monitoring bracelet and left the facility. At approximately 9:30 p.m., the Department of Corrections received an alert that the bracelet was malfunctioning. By Sunday morning, Geyser was officially reported missing. Madison police said she was last seen
with an adult acquaintance
near Cronky Drive.
Well, that is not the alert you want to get when you're working for the Department of Corrections.
No. I've often wondered how easy it is for someone to take one of those off and just skip town.
And saw it off. I mean, I guess if you have the right device to get it removed, then it's as fast as you can get away before they notice. And it sounds like you could get pretty far. I mean, if it's from 9:30 p.m., she was reported missing, and then, or 9:30 p.m. the malfunction, and then reported missing the next morning. I mean, she just got hours, 12 hours.
Yeah. You could make it to another country by then.
No, yeah, at least another state, especially in the Midwest, you know, where things aren't that far. But I feel like this maybe is some evidence that she was not ready to be released to in a conditional release situation.
I would agree. And if I was the victim's mom, I would be terrified, and the victim too.
Certainly. She's in her 20s as well, trying to live her life.
Less than 24 hours later, authorities confirmed she had been located. Police said in a statement,
on November 23rd at approximately 10:34 p.m., the MPD received confirmation that Morgan Geyser was taken into custody in the state of Illinois. There is no longer a need to search for Morgan Geyser at this time.
She was arrested in Cook County, Illinois. Police in Posen, Illinois, later released body camera footage of the encounter at a truck stop. Officers were responding to a report of two people loitering behind the building and found Geyser and a companion sleeping outside. In the footage, Geyser repeatedly refuses to give her identity. An officer asks,
"You're not wanted for murder, right?"
Sir. Yikes. Sir, dude. I mean, I guess if she doesn't have ID and the case was a long time ago and it wasn't where you live, then, you know, how are you to know? You might not have seen the documentary. You might not recognize her.
You might not have gotten the alert that, like, hey, this sort of infamous attacker is on the loose. But what a ironic statement in that moment of that body cam footage of, "You're not wanted for murder, right?"
And burp, burp, burp.
Right. At least
it's
he didn't go.
Music.
Yeah, exactly. At least we didn't. He didn't follow it up with, "You know what? You seem all right. Go ahead and go." He took it seriously.
Yeah, yeah. When pressed, Geyser tells officers,
"I did something really wrong."
And at one point, she suggests they can
just Google.
After she finally writes her real name down, she pleads,
"Let me say goodbye, please. I'll never see her again."
After separating Geyser from her companion, an officer remarks on camera,
"I hope she didn't commit a homicide. The way she's talking, she's saying it's really, really bad." At least she understands the nature of the offense that she committed.
Yeah, yeah. The way she's talking, it sounds really, really bad. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How have you not looked this up in your system to see what she did yet?
Literally, she told you, she told him, "Just Google me. Just Google me," which is fair.
You've all got phones and you've got a fucking radio.
Hey, Siri.
Like, hey, somebody back at the office Google this.
Hey, Siri, who is Morgan Geyser?
Morgan Geyser is a history teacher at the New Mexico Military Institute.
So, see, it wouldn't have even
told him. There's more than one, and that's why you got to look it up, because next thing you know, the Cook County PD is trying to go to New Mexico.
And get this to history professor who did nothing wrong.
That's how you're wrongly convicted.
Seriously.
You falsely confess when, you know, it's not that one, Siri. And sorry to everybody's Siris.
Yeah. Sorry, because we just turned them all on. But for real, I mean, this hearing her on that body cam footage shows, on the one hand, she does have an understanding of the nature of the crime that she committed, saying it was really bad, I did something really wrong. But on the other side of it, she sounds immature and like she doesn't understand. She does understand the nature and consequences of her actions, because she says, let me say goodbye, I'll never see her again, understanding this is probably going to lead to the revocation of your conditional release and a return to a secure psychiatric facility where it's way more locked down again. I mean, you've had, since the crime was committed, she's been in this more stringent facility, and you only had 4 months of freedom, and you fucking jackrabbited within 4 months. Like, clearly the prosecution, when they were emphasizing the lack of development that she has undergone and the perhaps temptations that are trying to get her to leave, do bad things, they have not been abated. And I do think a secure facility sounds like the best place for her at this moment.
Yeah. And honestly, thank goodness she didn't do anything terrible while she was on the lam.
Truly.
You know, apart from loitering outside of a gas station with a friend, mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't commit any crimes.
No, truly. And it does make you concerned, though, is like, if at the time of her committing this crime, she otherwise seemed like a normal kid.
Yeah.
But was harboring this like strange obsession and delusion. That's kind of dangerous if now she's able to sort of present as things are all right. There's psychologists, therapists, whatever, working with her that know way more than I do. But in this case, the proof is kind of in the pudding.
For sure. Shortly after her recapture, the person accused of helping her flee spoke publicly. Charlie Mecca, a 34-year-old acquaintance, told Wisconsin television station WKOW,
"She ran because of me."
Mecca said the two traveled together by public transportation because Geyser, age 23, feared the group home would no longer allow them contact.
What is going on between this 34-year-old and this 23-year-old? How long has it been going on? And why would the group home no longer allow them contact? Maybe because they are the ones that helped her escape?
Perhaps. Perhaps they have more than just a friendship relationship going on, and that's not allowed at the group home.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make sense. You're trying to focus on yourself and not be in a relationship of some sort.
Trying to develop the good judgment that would have you mm-hmm. be able to be released one day as a productive member of society and not cut your bracelet off and run after 4 months.
Yeah. Mecca told reporters,
"It was still my choice at the end of the day. I followed what I thought was right. I stand by it."
Mecca has since been charged with criminal trespassing and obstructing identification and was released from custody. Geyser remains in custody as authorities review the circumstances surrounding her escape. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has not yet announced whether her conditional release will be revoked.
But if I was a betting person, I would say it will be revoked. You can't cut your GPS bracelet and run states.
No, no. And I do wonder if Mecca was the driving force in being nearly, or actually more than 10 years older, you know, mm-hmm. and Geyser does seem younger than 23. 23 is already very young, but she seems like a young 23. Obviously, she has mental health problems. When you commit a crime at such a young age, a lot of psychologists say, you know, when something traumatic happens at a young age, you kind of get stunted at that age, mm-hmm. or you can, you know, I'm not a professional. I don't know that's going on, but for Mecca to kind of double down on, it was my choice. I followed what I thought I was right. That's kind of a loaded statement. Like what was right? What wrong were you trying to right, you know?
Right. Are you trying to free her because you don't think she needs to be in there?
Mm-hmm.
You maybe
or both
don't have,
of you?
Yeah, you don't have all the facts. And now Morgan's in a worse position than she was, you know, before all this.
Yeah.
Because you're at least sort of on the road to less restrictions. And now I imagine they're going to tighten the cuffs a little bit.
It's an interesting dynamic, too, because Morgan was, I mean, perhaps the more susceptible one in the crime. She committed the crime while Anissa watched. So now it's interesting to see what kind of dynamic is going on between these two. Which one is the leader? It seems like Mecca is the leader here, and Morgan is kind of following along, maybe like she's always kind of done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was where it's good acting on the body cam footage, but you're right. I think Morgan sounds, whether it's a legitimate case of like arrested development, she really is younger, or just in general, that whole situation and not being as socialized as a kid that did not grow up their teen formative years in the system. She does sound immature. And that's a good point that if before she was like, well, I'm the one, you know, I'm going to be the one that's holding the knife to get Slender Man to love me. And now it's like, well, I'm going to listen to you. And it's a shifting of dynamics, but that's regardless. It's like, you're susceptible to this. You perhaps do not need to be exposed in a lesser facility where you can be exposed to outside people like this person.
Yeah. Yeah, to keep her safe and everyone else safe. It seems like she is not ready to definitely be released, you know, out of a facility. But even a lighter facility seems to not been the place for her. I hope she finds a facility that is one that she needs, you know.
Gives her the right skills and tools.
Yes, yes. With good people and people that will help her get better, because it's, I mean, she did something completely heinous. We can't take that away. To be 12 years old and now you're 23. I mean, basically your entire, most of your life has been spent just behind some kind of a wall.
Yeah. Being looked at, analyzed, prodded by people. So yeah, I hope, you know, the idea is you want rehabilitation. You want him to go out and live this life. But the question is, if they understand you're not supposed to take off the monitor, you understand you're not supposed to leave the place, and then you still did those things.
Yeah.
That's where we got the problem. And we got to figure out what caused that. So hopefully they'll figure it out.
I hope they do.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Sinister Hood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Well, next up, we were just talking about this not too long ago because we were discussing these types of mushrooms, I believe on Crime Wave, if it was. Yeah. In July of 2023, a lunch at a home in Leongatha, Australia, became the focus of a major criminal case after three guests died from poisoning. In episodes 357 through 358, we covered the case of Erin Patterson, who served a beef Wellington to her estranged husband's parents, Don and Gail Patterson, and his aunt and uncle, Heather and Ian Wilkinson. Only Ian survived the poison lunch after spending weeks in a coma and undergoing a liver transplant. The rest of the guests passed away from death cap mushroom poisoning. Prosecutors alleged the dish was deliberately laced with the deadly fungi. Throughout an 11-week trial in Victoria in 2025, Patterson maintained the poisoning was accidental. She told the court the mushrooms were mistakenly included in the meal, insisting she had no intent to harm anyone. The jury did not agree. Patterson was found guilty on three counts of murder and one count of attempted murder. In September, she was sentenced to life in prison, with eligibility for parole after 33 years. Since her arrest, Patterson has been held at Melbourne's Dame Phyllis Frost Center, a maximum security women's prison. Because of her notoriety, she spends roughly 22 hours a day in solitary confinement, with limited access to outdoor space and no group activities. This Christmas will be her first behind bars.
Well, you know, if someone's convicted, what happens? They want to get out of it, and she's come up with some appeals.
This is her first Christmas behind bars, and it's one of many Christmases that Ian no longer has with his family, and that her ex-husband and their children no longer have with their grandparents and aunts and uncles.
Yeah, when you think about that's Ian's quotation of like how his life is just less by having lost Heather. And I imagine the same goes for Simon and his parents.
I have a feeling she is brutally hated in this prison. That's just complete my own
just conjecture,
gut instinct. But like, if you're in solitary for 22 hours a day, that's probably also to protect you from other inmates. In early November 2025, Patterson formally lodged an appeal, alleging what her lawyer described as
a substantial miscarriage of justice.
Court documents claim a
fundamental irregularity
occurred while the jury was sequestered, allegedly undermining the integrity of the verdict. Local media later reported jurors were housed in the same hotel as police and prosecutors, though courts have not confirmed details. Patterson is asking for an overturning of her convictions and a retrial on several grounds. Her legal team also accused prosecutors of
unfair and oppressive
cross-examination and argued that some evidence admitted at trial was irrelevant, while other evidence was improperly excluded. Specifically, she is arguing that cell tower evidence, along with evidence of death cap mushroom sightings near her home, should not have been allowed. She also argued evidence from the so-called Facebook friends who met Patterson through a true crime group should also not have been heard during the trial.
So she's trying to get out on several grounds. I'm curious as to the irregularity and the sequestration of the jury, because if, yes, the jurors are down at the hotel bar talking to the cops, then that's one thing. But if it
or they overhear cops or prosecutors talking.
But if they were separate on other sides, other wings, the dates that the police were there versus, you know, but the her team knew about this at the time of trial, was made aware of it, and did not bring it up in court. So I think that undercuts it. It's similar to Keith Raniere in the NXIVM case where they tried to argue about this metadata and the court said, you saw the metadata, you must have been fine with it because you didn't say anything about it earlier. Mm-hmm. As for the unfair and oppressive cross-examination, okay. I mean, it's an adversarial, you know, an adversarial interaction between the prosecutor and the defendant. One of the, I won't say stronger arguments, but potentially argument with merit is that there was no mention of motive in the opening statement. There was some questions maybe around motive, but not directly. But then in the closing statement, the prosecutor made some sort of mention that there possibly was this motive of, you know, this family strife and she didn't like them based on those text messages of the Facebook friend. So if in under Australian law, it is a, you know, manifest substantial miscarriage of justice to mention motive briefly. But I would say argumentatively, like there's so much evidence that she did do it that I think the jury, one could say that that wasn't determinative. Like the jury was like, well, I wasn't convinced until the very end when they said this, you know.
But why can't you say what a motive might be?
A lot of times in under the a lot of times it, depending on different court rules, something like motive evidence has to be disclosed up front so that a defendant has the right to respond to it and prepare and stuff. So if you just sort of like threw it in at the end, you're like, hey, wait, I don't even get to go again. So I see that. But I also think there was motive discussion throughout, arguably, perhaps her attorney's arguments that, you know, none of the Facebook messages should have been let in. I thought it was interesting that the cell tower evidence and the death cap mushroom sightings posted on iNaturalist were argued as being not relevant, or that the probative value of that evidence was outweighed by its unfair prejudice. But I don't think so, because that's circumstantial evidence. Like that's probative. It's extremely probative. It's not just like someone posted it. It's like she accessed a page where someone posted it.
And that's then her cell phone dinged at a tower near where these mushrooms were that these people ate and died from. So,
yeah.
I mean, it all makes sense to me, but I'm not trying to get my case thrown out. When stuff like this happens where it's like you said, you knew this up front, or Ranieri mm-hmm. knew it up front. My theory is they wait to see what the outcome is, and then that might be a reason to appeal if they need it.
Yeah, and that's, you kind of think, oh, we're going to sit on it. Well, then when the judge perhaps comes in later and goes, you knew this, like, why are we even talking about
true.
It? And in some cases, you have to object at the time to preserve that error for appeal later. So I don't know Australian law as well as the U.S. law, but I think in this case, it's one thing to say she had no notice that there was going to be any mention of this motive in the closing statement, but I would argue that there was some discussion of it. It says in her appeal said, despite opening the case for the prosecution on the basis that there was no evidence of motive, in its closing address, the prosecution changed its case by implying that there was motive for murder. But under Australian case law, my question is, does an implication count? You know, like if you just kind of go, who knows why she did it? Maybe she did it because she hated her parents or her in-laws. Who knows? And then you keep going. Is that the same thing as going, we think she did it because of this? So that'll be for the appeals court to decide whether the convictions will be quashed and will order a new trial. In rare scenarios, I think they can completely enter an acquittal. But I think that would be that's usually where the retrial would be unjust. I don't think they're going to do that here.
Yeah, man. I certainly hope not put everybody through that again. I mean, really, Ian.
Yeah, and Simon and the kids.
Yeah, true. Yes, yeah. While the Court of Appeal confirmed the appeal has been lodged, it has not yet ruled on whether it will be heard. Prosecutors, meanwhile, have filed their own appeal, calling Patterson's sentence
manifestly inadequate
and asking for an increase. Patterson has asked not to be physically present if an oral appeal hearing proceeds.
Yeah, the Director of Public Prosecutions has asked for a longer non-parole time. She got, as a reminder, Aaron Patterson was convicted and given 33 years non-parole time. So she'd be like 82, I believe, when she'd be eligible for parole. And the prosecutors are asking for an increase of the non-parole period or some other outcome that's sort of functionally life in prison. The argument, I think, is that at sentencing, the judge said, well, she's about to be at this really rough prison and she's probably going to be locked alone for 22 hours a day, which is what has happened. And 33 years of that's like pretty bad already. But the prosecution said, we think 33 years is inadequate. She killed 3 fucking people.
Mm-hmm. And tried to kill 4.
Yeah,
actually, and five. Think about it.
Yes, she really tried to kill her husband like 3 times before that. We didn't even get her on that. So, like, even an 82-year-old can make a pie.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want her out, perhaps. No. So, that's the argument. So, we'll see how that comes as it is heard by the higher courts in Australia.
That's interesting. Is it typical for once the sentence has been handed down and the person's already in prison for the prosecution to then ask for more time?
I mean, only if the prosecution there is a framework that allows the prosecution to ask for that if they think that the sentence was not sufficiently supported by evidence. So it sounds like they got their conviction.
Neither side's happy.
Nobody's happy.
The
and they want it. They're trying to turn it up to 11. So we'll see.
In December 2025, Netflix released Death Cap, The Mushroom Murders, revisiting the fatal lunch and its aftermath. As appeals move forward, Aaron Patterson remains incarcerated, serving one of the longest prison sentences ever imposed on a female offender in Australia.
And that's going to be the argument, I'm sure, by her attorneys is, she's got the longest sentence, but the prosecution's still going to say it's manifestly inadequate that it is falling outside of the range for something like a triple homicide.
Yeah. Just because she's got the longest sentence doesn't mean it doesn't need to be longer.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's long enough for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Well, now on to everybody's most hated sex predator. One of them. I don't know.
And he's
the one
friend.
Most talked about these days, and his bestie who lives in the White House. In Washington, D.C., scrutiny is intensifying over the Justice Department's release of documents related to the late financier Jeffrey Epstein after a December 19th statutory deadline passed, with many records still heavily redacted or missing. The release followed passage of the Epstein Files Transparency Act, which required the Department of Justice to publish all Epstein-related records not protected by law. On the deadline, the DOJ unveiled a large online archive, warning that the scale of the materials meant sensitive personal information could still appear inadvertently. Within hours, journalists and researchers noticed problems. Several files that were publicly accessible on December 19th disappeared by the following day. Among them, photographs showing Epstein in social settings with well-known public figures, including a previously unseen image of Donald Trump alongside Epstein, Melania Trump, and Ghislaine Maxwell. That image was later removed, reviewed, and reposted, according to the DOJ, which said no victims were depicted.
Yeah, there was a number of oopsies in this first tranche of documents, which even though they put a lot out, big portion of it had already been put out before. Another portion was new that was a smaller portion. And then a big chunk of it was also just straight up redacted. But the idea that they would upload something and then delete it is crazy to me. But one of them, file 468, was of Epstein's desk area. And there was photos on that desk area that visibly included photos of the president, Donald Trump, in not so...
flagrante delicto.
I mean, I think with some younger girls.
Yes.
And so that got removed. And then they were like, well, it was accident. We put it back. You're like, I don't think that you removed it because you were trying to protect victims.
No.
Trying to protect a victimizer.
It's interesting they even put it back, to be honest. I feel like that caused more attention than if they had just deleted it.
There's so much Streisand effect going on in this, but there is also a 12-second Epstein suicide video that appeared in the file dump. It was as part of an email tip chain, and I think it said, is this real? And it was a 12-second video, which appeared with a justice.gov URL and surfaced alongside these other files, was time-stamped August 10th, 2019 at 4:29 a.m., which would be 2 hours before he was discovered in a cell. But it was not a real, it's like an AI generated fake video, but it was in somebody's emails at the DOJ. So then that's what got,
what was the video
supposedly of Epstein committing suicide?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it was, not true. I mean, it was fake that I guess someone had sent in to the DOJ as a tip or whatever. So the crazy part was that the DOJ's online library, if you searched Trump, nothing came up at all. But then if you search Trump with a space mark, like a space after it, a ton of stuff would come up. So they clearly restricted the search, in my opinion, functionality wise, that's what appears to be happening. And then I think that maybe has now been changed as well, but it's very badly redacted. In some cases, they didn't. In Adobe Acrobat, you have to redact it. You click like redact and then you click like delete permanently. And if you don't do all three steps, you've just highlighted it in black and someone could highlight it, copy and paste it into a new document and see it. And so a lot of people were doing that as well, including emails from U.S. attorneys going, I have all this evidence that Trump was repeatedly on Epstein's plane with just Epstein and his own children, you know, Trump's own children. What do you want me to do with all this? You know, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. No. And I think we're all asking, what is going to be done with all this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day, it's like a little bit more trickles out, mm-hmm. but it's, I mean, some entire pages are blacked out. So it's like, mm-hmm. who are we protecting? Again, there's no way this entire page is just victim names mm-hmm. and what happened. You know, I mean, there's other names involved in this.
Yeah.
It's every day we learn more, a little bit more that adds more questions, but also just makes you realize what kind of fucked up shit was going on there. Stuff that most people can't even really think up or visual. You know, like mm-hmm. when I saw some of the things I saw, I just a boring regular person was like, I didn't even know they made Mm-mm. gloves that did stuff like that.
Oh, or the chair, the dentist chair, or yeah. the rubber masks on the wall. Oof. But yeah, given the images that we've seen, only the ones we've seen, and that at least, you know, over 500 pages were fully blacked out. Three documents, there was 250 entire redacted pages. And there was one that was like 120 pages titled Grand Jury New York. That's all blacked out. So the fact that someone at some point in time typed all of these things out and now they're being that's a cover up. That's literally a yeah. cover up. So what we're seeing right now is unprecedented. One of the largest widespread cover ups of a child sex trafficking ring, of a human trafficking ring of all times. It's mm-hmm. to me, this is bigger than Watergate. When people try to gaslight you and tell you, oh, this is, you know, it's just the Dems wanting this. No, it's literally bipartisan at this point. Yeah. Ask me how bipartisan it is. It passed unanimously in both houses. That does not happen. So if this is truly bipartisan, then we need to unredact those pages.
Absolutely. It is not even a political Mm-mm. stance or question or problem, in my opinion. This is children of all ages, from the youngest until they become adults, and also adults mm-hmm. being forced to work, commit heinous sexual acts, rape, molestation, abuse, torture, everything mm-hmm. you can think of was done to these people for funsies on this island of horrors mm-hmm. and a ton of fucking people that make billions of dollars were there. Stop giving your money to these billionaires who were on this island sexually abusing children for mm-hmm. fun. Like, they would gather for parties and do this kind of shit. Don't do it. And like, I say that if it includes people that I admire or once admired, if I find out they're on the list, then they're no longer. I don't care what yeah. political party they subscribe to. They need to be in prison.
The political party I'm in is the No Pedophiles Party. Yeah. So if I'm in the NPP. Yeah. You down with NPP? Yeah, you know me. We're in the No Pedo Party. So the GOP, Guardians of Pedophiles, at this point.
Yes.
Although I'm very proud of Representative Thomas Massie, who was the co-sponsor of this bill and is really pushing for compliance with this, the actual production that is demanded under the law he passed, because otherwise it is a cover-up.
There's a lot of Republicans that have, I mean, mm-hmm. and part of me wonders, are you just doing this to get on the right side of history before the ship entirely sinks and you're trying to jump off? Or Marjorie Taylor Greene, did you see and hear some shit that mm-hmm. you can't unsee and unhear? And you've got kids of your own. And finally something clicked where you're like, fuck,
mm-hmm.
this is fucked up. I shouldn't have gotten mm-hmm. entangled up in this. And now I'm going to try and untangle myself. But you still did a lot of damage while you mm-hmm. were there. So you're never going to be completely liked, but you could try and right some of your wrongs by being on the right side of this.
Right. It's like, if you finally know better, so at least you're trying to do better. I'll give yeah. you that credit. But yeah, to me, this is a Watergate-esque cover-up, misuse of Department of Justice resources. And yeah, hopefully we'll see. But there's a lot of pictures as well about to hear.
Other images show Epstein with celebrities, including Bill Clinton, Michael Jackson, Mick Jagger, Diana Ross, Chris Tucker, Kevin Spacey, and Prince Andrew, circulated widely after the release. None of the photos alleged criminal conduct, but their appearance reignited public debate over Epstein's elite social network.
Mick Jagger was apparently lifelong friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. There's just a lot of pictures of him going way back. And Ghislaine also had frequently told people that she was allowed to fly a helicopter in Colombia and quote unquote shoot terrorists, aka they let her fly a helicopter and shoot it. I don't know, anti-government, you know, whatever you want to call it, human lives, I would say. And there's photos of her with in a Colombian helicopter. There's photos of her with a Colombian person in a flight suit with the thing on her shoulder. Whether what really happened, but she was not lying as far as getting able to, like, being able to fly that helicopter. And at the time, Clinton and the leader of Colombia and Epstein were all kind of running together. So it's not an outlandish thing that she was claiming, but they have these very, like, I'm best friends with Mick Jagger. It's like, they are, there's pictures.
Yeah.
And Mick Jagger also married a teen.
So. That's what I'm saying. Like, cannot imagine as prevalent as this abuse was. I mean, and I'm reading Virginia Giuffre's book right now. And we've said it before, I don't know how these people did anything other than get massages from underage girls and sexually abuse them, because it was like 3 times a day, all the time. Like, what else were you doing? So when it's that much of your life, how could anybody that's in your elite inner circle not know that that's a thing you're into? And we've seen so many notes from from Epstein or from others to Epstein being like, hey, we got a similar thing that we like, and all these, you know, allusions to preferring young girls. And there's no way that these people hung out with all these people and didn't fucking know that was going on, perhaps participated. At the very least, they had to have known it was going on.
No, 100%. And there it's more things being released is more and more evidence. And exactly what you said, there in there is a letter from Jeffrey Epstein to Larry Nassar, the abusive gymnast coach, that
over
says,
several hundred girls he sexually molested and assaulted.
Absolutely. Well, the letter to him sort of kind of says, hey, we both are into the same stuff, right? Including, he says, our president also likes nubile young girls. Yeah. He said, you know, I love taking the short route home. I hear we're both taking the short route home. We showed one thing, our love and caring for young nubile girls. And the president also likes young nubile girls.
What is that even? What is that? Why would you send that to someone? Ding, 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 blackmail. So yeah, you have a paper trail. So this guy knows. He knows this about me. He's got this on me. So now I'm in debt to him.
It says, regarding our president, and this was sent during the first Trump administration, when a young beauty walked by, he loved to, quote, grab snatch. So,
I mean, he straight up said, grab him by the pussy. They love it. There you go. Now we have that corroborated. Just pussy for snatch.
Yep. Life is unfair. Yours, Jay Epstein. So that's
life
the kind
is
of stuff.
Unfair is what this fucking idiot said.
That is what he said. Life is unfair.
Why is that your sign off?
Life is unfair. Jay Epstein.
What? Because this isn't legal. Because we can't do this in public. What's the implication?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that they both got arrested because Epstein sent it to Larry Nassar in jail. So,
oh, so fucking gross, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had to have opened that letter and read it and then given it to Larry Nassar.
Luckily,
so who's
they
that
didn't,
person?
They did not give it to him, but they did open it and they took it and kept it
good,
as part of the
good.
File. So, yeah.
Well, what a fucking idiot, though. And that shows you his hubris to think I can send a certified letter to prison and it's going to get to the person intended. And honestly, it could have. And I wouldn't have been surprised because he's a Mossad agent and none of the rules applied to him. He just got to do whatever he wanted.
He's like, I'll get this in writing. I'll send it to fellow pervert Larry Nassar.
More substantively, newly released emails and internal records expanded on Epstein's private jet flight history, including references indicating Donald Trump flew aboard Epstein's aircraft multiple times in the 1990s, details broader than what had been previously reported. Again, the documents do not allege wrongdoing, but critics say they underscore how much information had remained out of public view for decades.
Similarly, if you can't trust one thing someone's told you, how are you to trust another thing? So for someone to say, I barely know Jeff Epstein, I don't know that guy at all, and then for there to be a large amount of evidence that indicates the contrary, I think that shows us that the president might be lying to us, you guys. I know you don't want to believe it, and I don't want to believe it.
Shocker.
But I think Donald Trump may have told a fib. And the fib is Jeff Epstein, the New York financier.
My best friend.
My best friend, Jeff. He did try to today, I think it was or earlier this week, Trump was interviewed and said that he should look into, you know, they asked, you know, what do you think about Bill Clinton being in this files? And at one point, Trump said, Bill Clinton, he's a big boy. He can handle it himself. And I was like, I bet you would know that. I bet you would know he was a big boy. He's like, he's in a lot of the pictures. He's a big boy, though. He can handle it. He's like, I like Bill Clinton. He's been very good to me. I was like, he taps you on the head before he finishes. He's a great guy. He's thoughtful. He's kind. He never once. I didn't pop my jaw once. He's great. Yeah, no, it was crazy that he, I think they're trying to show that, oh, look how much Bill Clinton was involved. Mm-hmm. I do think Bill Clinton was involved. My conspiracy theory is that Bill Clinton, they call him Slick Willie for a reason, and it's not just because of what Trump spit on. It's because he he's like smart and calculating. So I think if Clinton was photographed or filmed doing sexual things with girls, as sleazy as Donald Trump, but not as stupid, I think Donald Trump is as sleazy as Bill Clinton, but stupider. So there would probably be more incriminating, horrible stuff about Trump than there would be about Clinton. Although, in my opinion, they're both stupid for what was obviously a honeypot operation from the jump.
I also wonder if a lot of those pictures were taken in secret. Because there's one of Clinton in the hot tub with what looks to be a young girl. Her face is blacked out. And he looks like he is having a good time, just kicked back in that hot tub. But he's not looking at the camera, and it's kind of far away. So I'm like, we know there was tons of cameras. I have to imagine people were just like snapping pics around corners to add to the files for blackmail purposes. Well,
and there's a couple. There's one of the former prime minister of Israel, I believe, Ehud Barak, who's like, he kind of almost looks like, bitch, why are you taking my picture? Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's probably a lot of situations where Ghislaine's like, anyway, smile. Oops. Yeah. And back then, you couldn't say, hey, let me get that phone and delete it because it was on film. So
true. Yeah.
All you have to do
She's
is be like,
the Polaroid.
Yeah. But Clinton, my conspiracy theory about Bill Clinton is that it is my understanding his spokesperson urged that everything should be released. And it was something like what has been released and how it has been released makes very clear that someone is covering something up and that they are calling on President Trump to direct Attorney General Pam Bondi to immediately release any remaining materials referring to, mentioning, or containing photographs of Bill Clinton. And the reason why I think that is because I think Clinton's like, hey, baby, they were all legal. Like, Hillary and I had an open marriage. Okay, it's called polyamory. Get with the program. And it's like, I don't think it was. I think he was cheating on his wife, which whether she knew or didn't know or who cares, or she was there hunting people, I'm not sure. But that was interesting to me that he's like, release it all. Why isn't more being released? I'm like, oh, because you were smart enough to outsmart the guy that was trying to blackmail you.
Could be. I also think they're going real hard on Clinton because he's a Democrat, and they're trying to be like, look at this dim that was at, a lot of Democrats were there, you know, but a lot of Republicans were too. And we need to know on both sides who was there, especially if the person that was there the most is currently the commander in chief.
No, for real, especially since it is ongoing, sounds like an ongoing cover up that's still misusing what should be a separate and independent prosecutorial entity of the Department of Justice is now being used as the president's private cleanup crew. And I'm glad to hear lawmakers have gone on record saying that they are looking for legal ways to ensure full disclosure.
Yeah. It's wild that this is even a thing, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like that everyone's having to fight for the government to tell us who's in charge of the child sexual abuse material, the trafficking ring, like what we deserve. And they're like, I don't know. It's crazy, isn't it?
They're like, why wouldn't
you tell us that? You know what I mean? It's just, and the answer is because they're trying to protect a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I think what will hopefully happen or potentially could happen would be that whether it is through Congress, through the victims, or through some of the judges who have already had jurisdiction over these cases, various, whether it's the some of the grand jury proceedings, that a third party records custodian will be nominated. That's like a law firm, a private law firm gets hired, and that everything Epstein goes to that law firm. And then they, as a third party with maybe a rep from the victims, a rep from the government, a rep from whatever, it becomes literally everything's on the table. They can keep it private if they're a law firm and they need to keep it private for victim security. But a victim's attorney being in the room going, we're fine with that. Let that out. We're fine with that. That's what we actually want. So hopefully there will be something like that. I think the law was kind of intended to do that. But given that they're violating the law, that is a next step.
Yeah, it's a bummer when the people that make the laws are breaking them, because then it's like, well, all these laws we have in place suddenly don't matter. Like, I mean, even if a private law firm were to get all of that, how do we know that someone from the administration isn't mm-hmm. like, by the way, you didn't see shit?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, here's a picture of where your kid goes to school.
I was going to say, I bet little Caitlin would like to see mm-hmm. some of these Epstein files. And it's like, why are you mentioning my kid?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I hear you. That becomes the issue, is like, how widespread is the corruption and how deep does it go?
Survivors' attorneys argue the rollout was both incomplete and mishandled, saying it failed to meet the law's transparency requirements while also exposing some sensitive material before it was pulled back. For now, lawmakers, journalists, and victims' advocates say the central questions remain unanswered. What was known, who was protected, and why full accountability has proven so elusive even years after Epstein's death.
Allegedly, this is the death. Alleged. Yeah. Is he alive? Is he on an island? But I hope this is the thing that brings them all. This is the Watergate, that there is either a civil suit that compels compliance, contempt of Congress resolutions against Pam Bondi, she's fined, or impeachment, obstruction charges. In my opinion, this is obstruction. Like, intentionally hiding things is obstruction. So
yeah,
take them down, baby.
Take them all down. Drain the swamp.
Mm-hmm. Sinister Hood will be right back. Sinister Hood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Well, the murder of 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey in Boulder, Colorado, in December of 1996 remains one of the most infamous unsolved cases in American history, as we covered in episodes 29 through 30. After her parents reported her missing and a ransom note was found inside the home, JonBenet's body was later discovered in the basement. She had been killed, and her death was ruled a homicide. The case drew immediate national attention and decades of scrutiny, with suspicion falling at various times on family members and outside intruders. Despite grand jury proceedings, extensive DNA testing, and numerous suspects being investigated and ruled out, no one has ever been charged. Nearly 30 years later, the case remains unresolved. In December of 2025, Boulder police announced renewed investigative activity. In an annual report and a video update released earlier this month, Police Chief Stephen Redfern said detectives had conducted new interviews, re-interviewed individuals based on recent tips, collected new evidence, and retested existing evidence using modern technology. Chief Redfern said,
"This case remains a top priority for the department. Techniques and technology constantly evolve. This is especially true with technology related to DNA testing."
Police declined to describe the new evidence or identified who was interviewed, but Redfern emphasized,
"It's never too late for people with knowledge of this terrible crime to come forward, and I urge those responsible for this murder to contact us."
The update has renewed hope for JonBenet's father. Now 82, John Ramsey told reporters he is more optimistic than he has been in years. Ramsey believes several items collected in 1996, including the garrote, a suitcase, rope, and a backpack, could yield meaningful DNA profiles if tested using today's methods, particularly investigative genetic genealogy. Ramsey told reporters,
"If they do it and they come up empty-handed, at least that way I can say, thank you, you've tried everything. But if you're just following up leads that come in, that's primitive."
Boulder police say the investigation remains active and updates will be shared as technology advances and testing continues.
That's the one thing about murder is there's no statute of limitations, so they can charge years later. And, you know, something like investigative genetic genealogy, that's how they got the Golden State Killer.
Yeah, and he was in his 80s when they got him. But
that's true.
That just happens to be the same age as JonBenet's dad.
That's just a coincidence, isn't it?
It just happens to be a coincidence.
But I am curious if whether and to what extent any familial DNA has been ruled out as being in the house because they're the family or participatory. You know, I would think genetic genealogy DNA would be helpful to the extent it was a stranger.
Has John Ramsey, Burke Ramsey, Patty Ramsey, did they all provide their DNA?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. That's what I'm saying. My question is, what does it mean when they all lived in the house? You know, and it's like, this backpack was in the house and it has all four family members and then a fifth person. That's helpful. But if it's just like it has all four family members.
Yeah. Or her clothes, you know, different people in the house may have touched her that lived there in just a normal way. A fifth person would, raise concerns. This case, man, and every Christmas, like many, I'm sure, I think about this. I think about this case all the time. It's probably one that this and like OJ and the Menendez were the first ones I remember really being just like captivated by that something like this could happen and somehow no one is held accountable for it.
All these years,
30 years later.
Yeah, these years later. Well, DNA testing did show that the recovered DNA from under her fingernails and her underwear is an unknown male contributor, and that it does not match any of the family members, including her parents. They were both cleared based on DNA evidence. So I think that's probably what the question is if there is this unknown male DNA, who is it? Mm-hmm. You know, who could it be from? And that the new capabilities that we have, as well as using partial pieces of DNA to build out more, that could be something that is used. The Boulder police are playing it very close to the vest as far as what exactly they're testing. But it's interesting that he said, you know, I urge those responsible for this murder to contact us.
Yeah, which the phrasing of that would imply they are still alive.
Yeah, and those is multiple, more than one. So,
my opinions on this case have changed over the years. I've really gone like through four suspects that I thought could really be responsible. And where I'm at now involves a family member, but I'm not going to say that another person outside of the family was not also involved.
Yeah, I would say I think the presence of an unknown male, the question is who is that male? And then what was his relationship, if any, to anybody in the family?
Yeah.
And how did they gain entry? And what did Burke hear overnight? Things
or
like that.
Or was anyone trying to help someone cover something up?
Yeah, at some point. So I hope it will be something that is resolved before John Ramsey passes away.
I do too. Yeah,
for sure. So he sounds like he's happy with these updates, and we'll see what technology can bring us as we get, especially I wonder, just this is a futuristic thinking thing, but like when we have AGI, artificial general intelligence and artificial super intelligence, where it can search just everything in existence ever and start asking it, is it a magic machine that's going to tell us who did crimes? I don't know.
Yeah. Like you can be like, search the entire internet and all of these files, and then let's hear what you have to say, computer.
Well, if it being like this mass consciousness goes online and it can read every email, every text message, every everything, there's no such really thing as a warrant anymore, right? So you don't have to know to check 4 email addresses ago this inbox that was from 1999 or whatever, where you admitted something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a weird Philip K. Dick kind of a thought.
No, it's true though. I mean, I think eventually, I think a lot of crimes will be solved that way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that would have been caught, I think will have died by then. But hopefully at least it provides some answers. And then we're going to get into a Minority Report situation where people know you're going to commit a crime even before you do. And then they jail you based on that.
That's my concern. Or they say, you know, I'm going to live to the year 2100. They're going to be like, we've accused you of a crime. You can either go between a human judge or a robot judge. And I'm like, Judge Christie every time. Judge Christie.
Oh my God. But by then I'm half cyborg. You're so which I'm half like, do you get?
Are you whirring inside? Do I hear servos? Hang on a minute. Well, we'll see. We'll see what this evidence is and what the results of the tests are. I'm hoping to hear something soon.
Me too.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Sinister Hood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Well, lastly, we have some updates from our friends down below, up above, maybe both. Unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UAPs, have moved from fringe curiosity to a subject of congressional hearings and national security concern, as we covered most recently in episodes 320 and 321 on the Immaculate Constellation Program. Lawmakers held multiple hearings in 2023 and 2024 after testimony from military pilots and intelligence officials who described encounters with objects displaying capabilities beyond known human technology, fueling calls for transparency and the proposed UAP Disclosure Act. By late 2025, attention increasingly turned from the skies to the sea. On December 10th, retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Timothy
Gallaudet.
On December 10th, retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Timothy Gallaudet, an oceanographer and former senior Navy official, told News Nation that U.S. sailors have repeatedly observed UAPs entering and exiting the ocean, particularly off the coast of Southern California. The oceanographer told News Nation,
"What we know is that the U.S. Navy has observed these phenomena going in and out of the ocean repeated times."
Well, I don't need to hear anything more than that.
I believe it. I mean, they know what they saw. They're professionals.
And I'd like some videos. If you've seen this repeated times, where are all the cameras?
Get your Meta glasses on.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, planes and ships have cameras on. You tell me you're not, like, filming all the shit that's going on around you?
Come on now.
It does exist, and it's locked away somewhere.
They're hiding it in their emails.
The admiral cited Navy video footage and what he described as firsthand accounts from submarine officers and acoustic intelligence specialists. The objects spotted by military members were detected,
traveling faster than what our submarines can do and even what our weapons can do, such as torpedoes.
Gallaudet emphasized that the observations do not yet constitute proof of extraterrestrial technology, saying,
I will not be claiming that that's what the source of these phenomena are. We don't have evidence yet.
Well, but you have, but you do, because what else is it? Who? It's not, if it's not you, it's either an adversary or an alien. Adversary or alien, that's the new game show we'll be hosting this fall in 2026.
Behind this curtain, he's 6'3" and covered in a thin film and slime. And you're like, alien?
Adversary.
There it is, adversary, there it is. Oh, but yeah, I feel like he was trying to be careful with his words because you don't want to be the guy on News Nation that's like, there's goddamn aliens in the ocean. But he was like, I'm not saying it's definitely what it is. I'm just like, we need more information, don't we?
They can do stuff we can't.
Don't we? Because if it goes faster than a torpedo, that's something to be worried about.
Yeah. And it just disappears in the ocean and then we can't find them because they're too fast. Where'd they go?
What the fuck?
What hole did they go into?
That's portal? What I'm trying to. What hole? That's a different game show.
Yeah. What hole is it's immediately after Adversary versus Alien. Still, he argued the oceans deserve closer scrutiny, noting how little of them humans have explored. He told News Nation,
we've only mapped the seabed of the ocean floor to about 25% of its total. We've not even explored 10% of the ocean volume. We actually know the surface of Mars and the moon better than we know our own oceans. If there were any extraterrestrial visitors that did not want to be seen, this is where they'd hide.
Period.
Guess who's been saying that? Your Honor, thank you. Judge Christie has been saying this since this shit began. So,
well, honestly, it wasn't until we covered the UFO aerial incident where I was like, oh, that makes total sense. And these kids are so credible and believable that I believe there was water shimmering off these things. And I believe they saw these beings that were zip-zapping. Coming in and out like that fucking TikTok that of like you just got by AI, except it's intergalactic beings in wetsuits and stuff. I mean, I'm honestly kind of irritated. I'd never thought of it before because it makes so much sense because the oceans are infinite. I mean, not really, but you know, like as far as how much we can explore them. We can't find all that shit and everything's moving around down there anyway. So you find it and then the next day it's moves locations.
They're ultimate froggers, but they're frogging in our oceans and we don't know. We don't go. It's like your crawl space.
But it's their oceans. It's their oceans. We're frogging their land.
Dude, if you don't check enough, they're like, what is that? Why did this move? And now we know why it moved. It's because there's someone in there, something in there. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate his demand for further investigation. He's like, we're not going to know if we don't look. And that's why I want to know why is Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos trying to use all their money to get off the planet? I'm like, what do you know about the oceans? Mm. Why aren't you trying to, the real heroes here are James Cameron, people that are actually trying to look down and see what's in there and tell us. And maybe James Cameron did see some shit and that's how he came up with Avatar. He's like, dude, I will tell your story. He saw him on his little submarine.
It's maybe.
Like, I will tell your story. They put up a post-it note. Not Penny's boat.
Not Penny's boat.
Oh, no. What a series of updates we've brought today.
These were. Thank you for curating them all.
Certainly.
We will continue to keep everyone updated on these as they develop. I know all of these are very interesting to most people, especially JonBenet and the UAPs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Epstein, we got to see what, all of these.
All of it, really.
That's why it became its own episode, because we're like, all of these have been ones we've been waiting for this movement on. And now we said in the episode, someday X will happen. It's happened. And you know what? That goes to show that even if the development happens that you thought was going to be that next key, like maybe the FBI will arrest J.P. Miller. It's like, there's still room to go, but you can't get to the future place until we've got to the place we're at now. So it might be not a final update, but hopefully it's a step on the path toward justice for all these situations.
Absolutely. Well, I think we covered everything as far as what we think.
Oh, we think a lot, and y'all know.
But we would love to hear what you all think. So sound off in the comments and all the places and let us know.
Let us know what you think. And have a, as you're listening to this on Christmas Eve, if you celebrate, happy Christmas Eve and a happy Christmas. And we'll be back next week.
Yes. Happy holidays. Merry all the things. We could not be more thankful for all of you. I promise you that on this Christmas Eve that is in a few days. Oh, tomorrow. We're recording this on the 23rd.
As you listen. Yeah.
On Festivus, which is when Happy Heather Festivus. And I and Paris and Tommy exchange our gifts on Festivus. We're so very thankful for all of you. We couldn't do all of this without you. And just you being along for the ride is all the gifts that we need this holiday season.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
If you are listening on Christmas Eve and you're like, shit, I didn't get a gift. I got to buy something right now. You can gift a Patreon membership. Go to patreon.com/sinisterhood/gift. You can gift 1 month, 3 months, a whole entire year. But it gives you a nice little digital card that you can either print it out or make a little thing or whatever you want. But that way you have a years long gift if you want to give it to them. And it's something that looks super thoughtful and it's delivered like the second that you push go. Yeah. So you can get yourself out of a jam if you need
a subscription gift or anything where it's like it's just not a one-time thing, because then you get to enjoy it all year. And with Patreon, it's like not only are you enjoying it constantly, but it's constantly new content is being added to it. You know what I mean?
So you get 1,000 hours of the old stuff and another a year's worth of new stuff that we have planned out, including
ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content. We let you all vote on what you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Now head over to sinisterhood.com and treat yourself for the new year by clicking shop on the top banner and checking out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. That would be a lovely gift if you want to get us something. It's just leave a nice review. You can also submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email, you get immediate access, and you can watch things like the pilot of Puchinsky, which how that was never bought and put out to the masses is a crime against humanity. But we watched it this last Sunday Scaries and it was everything and more.
It was so good. And you can watch it now along with all the other Sunday Scaries on our Patreon collection completely free. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, get yourself a little New Year's gift, maybe you want to have us do a tarot pull for your 2026, we would love to do that. Help you kick off your new year by booking a cameo now, from happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever accomplishment. We would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect for when you don't want to deal with the hassles of last minute shopping. You're looking for a last minute gift. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. Polly.
Summer Mitchell.
Sarah Lynch.
Katie Todd.
Lisa Pinty.
and Pariah Carey. Thank you all so much for supporting this show. We could not do this without you. We hope you have a wonderful holiday season and that we pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Mwah, ho, 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 ho.
Sinister.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Dinner time hit, but your motivation didn't. It's time to try something different than the same three dinners you make every week. Head to 7-Eleven and grab a delicious chicken sandwich with 7 rewards at 7-Eleven. Crispy, craveable, and way better than settling for the same old, same old. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. Stopping sold separately while supplies last. Participating stores. See app for full terms.